From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Creative industries are booming in Georgia. Film, television, music, art, and digital entertainment pumped $62.5 billion and 200,000 jobs into the economy in 2017. That's the last year tallied by Georgia's Economic Development Department and Council for the Arts. Well, at the end of this long, contentious, and sadly violent week, we are looking for inspiration and finding out more about some of the imaginative folks who make the creative economy possible. Susanna Specia is Executive Director of Reimagine ATL. Hello, Susanna.
Hello.
Did I get the last name pronunciation
right? You said it right. Yay.
Okay, good.
No one ever does.
We're in radio. And Mitch Martin is here. He's Senior Director of Creative for BMI. Hello, Mitch.
Good morning.
All right. And Jason Hoke is here. He's Head of New Initiatives and Executive Producer for How Stuff Works. Hello.
Good morning.
How are y'all?
Doing great.
Well, good. Jason, I want to start with you because How Stuff Works started in 1998, which in podcasting is like ancient history, right? Now it's a powerhouse. You produce the Atlanta Monster, huge podcast, Stuff You Missed in History Class. How many podcasts are you producing?
So we have, I think it's about 50 or 60 on the slate. That's about double what it was a year ago.
Wow.
And the audience is about 60 to 70 million downloads a month. That's an audience of about 5 or 6 million unique listeners. Pretty incredible.
So what do you do as the head of new initiatives?
So in that role, I talk to a lot of our big partners, Apple and Spotify and Pandora and the like, about really getting our content out there and getting them kind of the previews of what might be coming down the pipeline. And then as executive producer, I run a slate of shows. So we are actually following up Atlanta Monster with an additional season on Zodiac, believe it or not.
The Zodiac Killer?
Yes. 50 years later.
That should be interesting.
And a whole other bunch of goodies that will come out very soon.
So, Mitch, in your business, mm-hmm. BMI started in 1939, so a long time ago for creative
for sure.
industries. You personally have worked with Outkast, Janelle Monáe. What does BMI actually do?
BMI is the conduit between the creators of music and those platforms that use their music. So we collect licensing fees from platforms, from digital platforms, live performance venues, radio, television, and we pay those fees that we collect out to the composers, the writers, and publishers who own the copyright.
So making sure artists get paid.
100%.
Which, of course, is getting more complicated in the digital and streaming universe.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you get started in the business?
Well, I started, like many in this business, as an intern. I interned at the legendary LaFace Records in college and went on to intern at various studios in the city. After graduating college, I worked for Outkast as office manager and eventually as an A&R.
I'm just trying to imagine Outkast office manager.
Yeah, well, it was more tame than you might think. it was a day gig, and you know, it went into the studio as the evening went on. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and of course, being an Atlanta native and growing up on their music, it was kind of a dream job to start off with. Yeah, for sure.
Susanna, you are all about widening the circle of artists who are getting paid. A big part of your work at Reimagine ATL is focusing on equipping teens with skills. How do you all do that?
Well, our whole model is that if the industry isn't engaged in making email introductions, mentoring, giving job shadowing opportunities, then these teens aren't going to really go anywhere in the industry. That's just kind of the case for a lot of spaces. But when it comes to film, media, digital media, music, that's usually how it goes, is you have to know people, you have to intern like Mitch did. And so our entire model is built on asking corporate marketing departments, advertising, film studios, productions happening, musicians to come out and engage and teach our kids what they do. So our students actually are making their own original content as well as taking workshops and learning from the best people.
Well, this is a big issue in a city with the highest income inequality gap. Who has not been a part of this creative economy boom? Anyone want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can drive around Atlanta and you can see tall buildings and amazing new developments. But if you actually really spend the time, and we did a little bit of this during the series Atlanta Monster, you drive to places where it's pretty clear that there's a different city, that there's different levels of poverty happening and different levels of access. And so part of that is being able to bring those people into the stories and hopefully lift them up. And I think we just need to do more of that.
I spoke with a colleague, Floyd Hall, about what life is like for artists, in visual artists primarily, and creative, you know, other kind of creative artists, not necessarily in the digital media fold. And he said he grew up in College Park and he never knew anyone who was a stockbroker. So how do you pursue a job if you've never seen anybody who models this? Certainly in Atlanta, there are people who know that, you know, Donald Glover is doing it, or, you know, 2 Chainz is doing it. All of these kind of artists, they have some sense of it. But how do they get into a business? How do they get into an industry not really having that inside track, not really having maybe even the knowledge of where you intern? Susanna, you look like you're ready to say something.
Yeah, I honestly, I mean, I think that's why the job shadowing and, you know, internships are so important. But also what is really just a great opportunity for the creative scene in Atlanta right now is that because of the demand for more and more and more digital content, more than ever, it's an opportunity for kids and for adults who have these skill sets to get in, because creativity doesn't discriminate. We're all born with all different variations of how we view the world and perceptions. And if you can translate that into a story, into a digital form in today's world, and you have connections, you know, hey, I've seen these people do it. Atlanta is trying to make more opportunities right now around that space. We actually can start solving some of the income inequality. But that also means that we have to be paying people what they deserve. And you're talking about a heavy freelance community. Mm-hmm. And freelance, again and again, I mean, I'm around it. I'm part of that space too. We don't always know what we're valued at. And sometimes people are getting, well, all the time, constantly cut out by corporations or groups that might not be paying the rates that they should be paying. But you have to remember, if this is someone's livelihood, we need to not be asking them to do it for free. This is a skill set they're bringing and a lot of marketing value for whatever you're asking them to do.
So for Mitch, in your business, you're making sure that artists get paid. You have those relationships. Mm-hmm. Freelancers, independents often don't have that kind of thing. How do you bring them into the fold?
Well, there's a lot of community-facing initiatives that we take part in at BMI. They're going to speak to students at schools and colleges, holding showcases, myself participating on panels, going out into the community and educating them about not just the nuts and bolts of how BMI operates, but also the different opportunities and different people that exist within this city that they have access to.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Martin is Senior Director of Creative at BMI. Also with me, Susanna Specia. She's Executive Director of Reimagine ATL. Jason Hoke is here. He's Head of Initiatives and Executive Producer of How Stuff Works. We're just getting a sense of what people do. You know, we see so many people, this economy growing. We hear about it. Who is behind it? What do they do? This is the whole idea that in the world there are flowers and there are gardeners, you know, the creatives that are blooming and out there and visible. But then there is the support people who till the soil that allows them to grow. Which are you, Mitch?
I consider myself both. I kind of pride myself on being able to go into the studio with a producer, with an artist, and give them exact feedback on, hey, maybe we should add this instrument. Maybe we should bring this up or that down in the mix. Maybe we should collaborate with that person. But also being a connector in the community and connecting creatives to one another and to other organizations that may be able to help facilitate their career. So I play in both worlds, and I kind of always have, especially, you know, the role of an A&R kind of is that. And so that's kind of my background. So I've always.
Yeah, I wonder if it's time to that model is outdated, because it takes a lot of really creative people in order to be support. I don't know. What do you think, Jason? You work with a lot of creative people.
Yeah, it's something that actually people have been starting to ask me the last couple of years. You know, maybe I'm an industry guy, and maybe that's been my background growing up in digital media for over 20 years. But I have to say, as I've gotten into more of the creative space and getting out there and talking to people and sitting down with someone for 3, 4, or 5 hours, it is absolutely one of the most addicting things that you can do. And it's just, it becomes an obsession almost. And you go down a rabbit hole and you do research and you can't stop. And I have to say, so for me, it's a little bit of a reinvention as I've kind of gotten, you know, down that rabbit hole. And it's fascinating. And so I want to do more of that. And some of that will be behind the scenes, and some of it may be in front of the mic. I don't know. It's pretty fun, though.
Yeah. Well, in front of the mic today, anyway. And I know you do a lot of that work in other places. But I'm also wondering about, like, what does the city do to nurture? And I've seen all kinds of grants and initiatives in order to help entrepreneurs. But there is such a strong market in the creative industry. So many people coming in to take these jobs. Sometimes those forces just dictate themselves. Do you think the city of Atlanta, Susanna, and Georgia are doing enough to really nurture those people?
No.
In short.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of conversations happening, and there are certain things that we're doing as a city and state, but there's a lot more we could do. And I think looking at where the freelance economy is moving and how many people are freelance, it's taking up a bulk of our job market. And I think that is something that companies should be prioritizing. And there is, for the city of Atlanta, well, Invest Atlanta started a new fund. They're going to open up soon. That's for its creative industries fund. So it's a loan, which is a downside for a lot of content creators because, well, you don't know if it's going to pay off yet. But it's really flexible. So I think that's a good start. And it's kind of an experiment to see how this goes. I know that people like Jason and people like Mitch are absolutely necessary for, and they're doing this to mentor, to create more opportunities, be proactive within their seats to find those creatives and bring them up. But at the end of the day, it's going to take people, not big entities and state institutions. We are the ones who have to move it and to bring change.
Right. So for you as creatives working in this world, do you think, Mitch, I mean, you talked about some of the things you do in the community.
I agree with Susanna to an extent. I think the people are the ones who are already pushing for the creative community to be accepted and brought more to the forefront. I can say from the music sector, I think that Atlanta and Georgia as a whole need to kind of look itself in the mirror and accept I'm a music city. Hmm. I'm a music city.
Yes.
And I'm a hip hop city, because you have cities like Nashville and even Memphis, New Orleans, that when you fly into the city, the airport, there are pictures of guitars and saxophones and people playing music. And I think Atlanta has to really accept that that is a major part of its identity, not just nationally, but internationally, and start to include that in its branding. And I think people, it needs to be messaged from government in the same way that those other cities champion a message that music is a proud part of their identity. So I think until it accepts that it is largely a music city, and I don't know that they'll really move to really put its arm around the music industry in the same way that it has, say, the film industry.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. You know, I'm really happy y'all were here. You're beginning our weekend in a way that we can think about creativity and imagination. I really want to thank Jason Hoke, Mitch Martin, and Susanna Specia for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.